put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain. Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb. I got you, baby.
Hello, my friends. It's Monday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day 2026, and I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, your Red State Refugee. And welcome to the Radical Russ Show, your Monday morning wake and bake, coming to you from Rolla J Studios in Southern Oregon. On this week's Smoke Session, let's talk about Jesus Ochoa y Raimundo Gutierrez, the murderers of Alex J. Preti, who've finally been identified. We'll also cover the latest debauchery and predation released in the Epstein files and a Tarrant County, Texas blue tsunami in a special election. But before we get to all the serious political stuff, we've got time for three quick hits.
They think it comes from the Jamaica area.
Last time you said that, you went off to Jamaica.
Jamaica, we have a bobsled team.
This weekend was my birthday. On Friday, I turned 58 years old, and I got the most wonderful birthday present.
Well, it filled my heart with joy to know that so many people turned out for the resurrection. It mean a lot to me.
That's Floyd Denver, the owner of Floyd's Pelican Bar. It's a bar in Jamaica. It's not actually on the island of Jamaica. It's off the coast of Jamaica. It sits on pilings out there on a sandbar about, 7-8 feet of ocean depth there. But it's out in the middle of the water. The only way you can get to it is by boat. And I've been there two or three times on my four visits to Jamaica. Of course, the Pelican Bar was absolutely obliterated by the hurricane that came through. And on January 31st, they reopened the Pelican Bar. The locals gathered as many of the planks that washed ashore as possible. And these planks, I tell you, they got names carved in them from years and years and years of people coming out there. I've carved my name on one of those planks. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. They rebuilt the roof. They've got some of the stuff back up there. They've got sponsorship from Red Stripe Beer. It's so good to know that Floyd's Pelican Bar is reopened. I can't wait to get back there. And also, speaking of anniversaries, today, February 2nd, is my 18th anniversary in podcasting. That's right. I started on February 2nd, 2008 for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Now, sadly, I was going to bring you a clip from that episode, but I don't have a copy of it. The earliest episode I have is from February 12th, so I didn't have any anniversary clip to bring you, but I can just tell you that I'm happy to be here behind the mic. It's my little form of therapy, and I'm glad to be in your ears. Also, speaking about being in your ears, we are, you may have noticed from the intro, going to cut back to doing this just weekly on Monday mornings. I just can't handle the workload. I'm not the young man I used to be. When I first started doing that normal podcast back in 2008, I was still working a regular day job teaching computer software. So I would get up every morning, literally at 4 a.m, to record the 45-minute podcast for normal every day, every weekday, and then go work a full 8-hour day teaching. So I can't do that anymore. I just do not have the energy to be able to pull that off anymore. So I'll give myself the weekend to recharge and relax, collect all the clips, and every Monday morning, I hope I will be here in your ears to bring you more fun frivolity and sometimes a serious look at what's going on here in the world.
It's just like that impeachment doohickey or that Russia whatchamadoozy or the idea that Melania speaks with a foreign accent.
I'm actually working on a secret plan to free Melania.
She will be the happiest woman in the world, just like Melania.
The movie documentary Melania premiered this weekend. While it drew a respectable $7 million opening, not bad for a documentary, its $40 million price tag, $28 million of that went directly to the First Lady herself, coupled with $35 million in promotional costs, means it will have to clear well over $100 million before it becomes profitable. Here's a clip from the film, directed by Brett Ratner, the man who was Me Too'd out of Hollywood after at least six women came forward to accuse him of sexual assault. First Lady Melania Trump has just been given some advice from White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, and Melania is not taking it well.
You'll never make it, my dear, if you're that jealous. I know women like you. You still won't get a man.
Now, joining us from the rubble of the East Wing of the White House, the Radical Rush Show is disgusted and dishonored to welcome First Lady Melania Trump to the show. Mrs. Trump, are you ready for some questions?
I talk about anything you ask.
Thank you. Your new movie, Melania, is a 104-minute documentary. Not about your rise from poverty and into modeling in Slovenia.
Just rougher than America.
Yes, but your movie isn't even about that. It's just about the 20 days leading up to your husband running for president again in 2024. Critics are universally panning your documentary as boring, meaningless fluff, simply designed to act as a bribe from Amazon's Jeff Bezos to you and your husband. How does that make you feel?
Well, it doesn't make me very happy because I work very hard. As a matter of fact, years ago once, a friend of mine called me. The New York Times just came out calling you about the most famous courtesan since Madame Pompadour.
Well, since you brought up your husband, the latest release from the Justice Department of documents from the Epstein files are not painting a positive picture of your husband, Donald Trump. There are allegations of child rape, torture, beatings.
If a man roughs up 10 women, they should be looked into it.
Yes, and you were a big part of Jeffrey Epstein's world, were you not? There are even allegations that Epstein procured you from Slovenia and slept with you first, only later gifting you to Donald Trump for a mile-high tryst on the Lolita Express. What could possibly have gone through your mind at that moment?
I don't wish to work like this.
If the Democrats take congressional power again in 2026, there will be investigations into these Epstein allegations. You might even be called to testify before Congress. Have your attorneys advised you about this?
He said that I have to make a psychiatric, I don't know how to say it in English, they have to check up if I'm normal or insane.
Insanity really isn't a defense for these kind of charges, Mrs. Trump. What if you're found guilty?
I will go to jail. I will pay my dues.
That's refreshing to hear, honestly. The documentary is Melania, and our guest today has been First Lady Melania Trump. Now, before I let you go, could I ask you to please just say, I'm First Lady Melania Trump, and you're listening to the Radical Rush Show?
Don't do that. Let him do it from there. I can't do the fucking commercial!
The hostile rhetoric and dangerous threats and hate must stop. I begged for the last 2 months on TV for the rhetoric to stop. I said in March, if the rhetoric didn't stop, there's going to be bloodshed. And there has been.
Well, the Grammy Awards were last night. All sorts of clips coming out from the Grammys. But the overarching theme here seems to be that the Grammys are really fond of earth and wind and fire. But ice, not so much. Here's Bad Bunny, who will be performing at the Super Bowl in just 6 days.
Before I say thanks to God, I'm gonna say eyes out.
Next we get some Billie Eilish, or as I know her, the Whisper Girl. Billie Eilish with her opinion on the matter.
No one is illegal on stolen land.
People matter, and so nice is all I want to say. Sorry.
Best new artist Olivia Dean had pro-immigrant sentiments as well.
I guess I want to say I'm up here as a granddaughter of an immigrant. I wouldn't be here. I'm a product of bravery, and I think those people deserve to be celebrated. So yeah, we're nothing without each other. Thank you so much. I love you. Thank you so much.
We even get the black country artist Shaboozy weighing in.
Immigrants built this country, literally. So this is for them, for all children of immigrants. This is also for those who came to this country in search of better opportunity to be a part of a nation that promised freedom for all and equal opportunity to everyone willing to work for it. Thank you for bringing your culture, your music, your stories, and your traditions here. You give America color. I love y'all so much. Thank you.
Almost overshadowing all those clips and virality, however, was Cher, who stood on the stage to announce the record of the year and gave it to someone who's not been with us for 21 years.
And the Grammy goes to... They told me it was going to be on the prompter. Oh, the Grammy goes to Luther Vandross.
Yeah, it's a song called Luther, recorded by Kendrick Lamar and SZA. Not Luther Vandross, who passed away in 2005. And to round out the clips, we get Jelly Roll, who's now more of a Danish. The guy's lost a whole lot of weight. I don't know if you've seen him lately, but Jelly Roll, the country slash kind of rap artist. I don't know where you classify him genre-wise. Lady Love loves Jelly Roll. Oh, we listen to a lot of Jelly Roll. He has definitely found a little Jesus.
And I want to tell y'all right now, Jesus is for everybody. Jesus is not owned by one political party. Jesus is not owned by no music label. Jesus is Jesus, and anybody can have a relationship with him. I love you, Lord.
But I gotta appreciate that sentiment from him. Jesus knows no political party. And in fact, if Jesus was gonna align with one of them, I don't think it would be the one that's trying to kick out the immigrants and treat the children badly and shooting people in the street. I don't think that's the one Jesus would pick.
I think you've had one too many.
Too many, apparently.
Well, it's just one too many.
One too many for such a short flight?
Sir, I say that's one too many.
Oh, that's right. I'm not so good at counting. I guess this is our fourth hit. You get a little bonus hit every now and then. I am here in Southern Oregon, after all. This is where the weed is from. But I wanted to point out how there's so many of these videos out nowadays on YouTube, and I play them in the background sometimes. They're about science or comets or, you know, quantum theory, whatever. But, you know, the other day I was playing one that was about music, and I was playing, like, you know, the number best songs from whatever. And you can tell it's AI-generated, and you can tell because the AI voices, while they've gotten really good with their tone and inflection, it's hard to tell that they're not human. There are some subtle ways you can tell that they're not human. Like when it reads the script and says, "We went to record the album." You what? You went to record the album? Not record. Okay. You went to record the album. Or when they refer to the fellow who was known as C.W. McCall for this big country hit Convoy, and they call him Bill Fries when he pronounced his name Freeze. I guess a human could make that mistake. But I don't know, when they got to the 80s and they started talking about the hip-hop group EU, who had a big hit called Da Butt. not Da Butt. Da Butt. Like they were trying to speak Russian. Da, yet. Da Butt. because Vladimir Putin's favorite video? I don't know, but... nice try, AI voiceovers. You still got a lot of work to do before you can beat this old stoner.
One, two, five.
One, two, five, sir.
One, two, five.
One, two, five.
One, two, five.
Please, sir.
Yep, you're right. It's another bonus hit. We're high as hell here for Black History Month, I'm telling you. But yeah, I wanted to bring this other little thing that happened just the other day. Lady Love and I are hanging out, just scrolling our phones, sitting in the bed. And she gets this phone call. The phone call comes up from a private number. And I can hear kind of through her earpiece this voice on the other line saying, yeah, this is Deputy James Spencer from the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. And, well, what? That caught my attention, right? So she looks at me and she puts it on speakerphone and we listen together. And he's going through a spiel, this Deputy Spencer. Lady Love asks for his ID number and he quickly responds, number 5714 from the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. And it seems, according to his spiel, that my Lady Love had a federal grand jury summons. And it was sent to, and then he goes and lists this address off of Hyacinth Avenue that was long ago that she hadn't lived there in a dozen years. Now, as this is happening, I can see the look on her face that she's got this look on like, sure, buddy. The first mistake the guy made. Well, my Lady Love battled the Jackson County Sheriff's Office 14 years ago. Major bust, made all the major news here. Copped 29 felonies for growing medical marijuana and giving it to medical marijuana patients who had legitimate cards. Yeah, I know, that shit used to happen, folks. Anyway, she got out of the felonies. They're all expunged. That's water under the bridge at this point. But the point is, she battled the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. She knows them quite well, especially any of them that would be involved in these kind of activities. And she doesn't recognize any name James Spencer. And the second mistake is James Spencer is black. This voice is the voice of a black man. Now, if Jackson County Sheriff's Office has a black deputy, there's one, right? And he wouldn't sound black, right? I don't know how to best explain this, but anyway, he didn't sound like he'd be a guy from Jackson County. Let's put it that way. So Detective Spencer continues that he just wants to help her get off the federal docket that somebody at this Hyacinth address had signed for her summons, and the signature they got matches the signature of hers on file. And so now she's on this federal docket. And now she's got two charges, a failure to appear, and then he has us make sure we write this down, FTA 369-25, and a contempt of court, COC 369-65. And he just wants to help her get off this federal docket since she claims she's never received the grand jury summons. So he starts asking some questions. And remember, this is a cold call. And it's a private number. Like, there's the sheriff's office number doesn't come up. It doesn't show an Oregon area code or anything. Private number, right? He starts asking questions. Are you still in Jackson County? She answers truthfully, no. Are you in Canyon County? Well, now this is the next mistake, because Canyon County is not in Oregon. That's my county back in Idaho. So now this is like, okay, here's some scammer who's got some previous addresses. He's just going through the list. And she says no. So he asks, well, are you home right now? Well, she lies. Lady Love lies and says, no, I'm at a friend's. Well, which county do you live in now? Well, she lies again and says, Douglas County. So Douglas County is another one of these rural counties, mountain counties here in Southern Oregon, much more sparsely populated than the one, even the one I'm in right now, which is Josephine. Anyway, Detective Spencer here, Deputy Spencer, says, okay, ma'am, I will have to call over to Douglas County Sheriff to see if they can accept the transfer. Can you hold? So, yeah, okay. So we put him on hold. Lady Love starts explaining to me, yeah, this is all bullshit. It's all a scam. But we stay on hold, and then another voice comes on claiming to be Deputy Mark Bennett from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, who also sounds black. In even Trumpier redneck rural Douglas County. What are the odds? So, this Mark Bennett, again, explaining the seriousness of being on this federal docket and failure to appear, explains that he can help, but she'll have to get in her car and drive to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and stay on the phone while she's driving to the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, so that she can be processed for the transfer for the federal docket from the blah, 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 doesn't matter, right? So Lady Love, she says, truthfully, oh, I won't be able to do that. I had a surgical procedure this morning, and I'm not able to drive for 24 hours. Click. That was it. Dude hung up that fast. He was off the line, gone. Next thing Lady Love does, pulls up a post from Facebook from the Jackson County Sheriff's Office warning about this very scam. That the next step here is they have you driving and you're getting all scared because they're talking to you while you're driving and telling you how you're going to go to prison for federal this and that. And then, oh, but we can help you. Well, if you can get some money. Yeah. And then they take you to an ATM and then they process some bail fee or transfer fee or whatever the hell fee. Right. So it's just disgusting what they do this. And now that, you know, Lady Love's 60, I'm 58. We're getting up in those AARP years where people start making these calls. And I know there are so many seniors out there that are not as savvy as we are. Now, Lady Love worked in geriatric nursing for like 25 years, worked in hospice nursing for people, worked. And the vultures, the scammers that would come and try to, you know, prey on veterans and prey on these old widows and stuff. She found it disgusting. And back in her day, she used to take them on the line and keep them on the line as long as possible. Her figuring, you know, the longer I've got them on the line, that's less time that they're spending ripping someone else off. And she would berate them and shame them. She even got one of them to apologize after trying to scam her. So, you know what I say, F-A-W-L-D-F-O. Fuck around with Lori Duckworth and find out.
Our top story tonight.
Cold-blooded murder.
There's nothing complex about cold-blooded murder.
Refined cold-blooded murder.
Brutal violence to intimidate and cold-blooded murder to silence any who dared protest.
I awakened this morning to the news that we have the identities now of the two murderers of Alex J. Preddy in Minneapolis, the two federal goons who shot him in the back of the head after he was disarmed and fired 10 shots to kill this guy. Their names are Jesus Ochoa y Raimundo Gutierrez. One works for Border Patrol, the other's a customs and border agent, and the kicker, Jesus has been working for the DHS for 8 years. Raimundo has been working for them for 12. So a few things to talk about on this one. First of all, I think there's a lot of people that might be surprised by this to think, well, wait a minute, you guys obviously have Hispanic names. What are you doing working for Border Patrol, working for ICE? And it shocks them to think that Hispanic men would be out there brutalizing and rounding up Hispanic families and taking Hispanic kids as bait and shooting people. They can't see how that could be happening. How could you do such a thing? And we're going to have to get some understanding here about how white supremacy works, and that in any situation like this, there's always been members of the oppressed class who will work to be in proximity to the safety of whiteness, to be one of the good ones. That's what we got here with Jesus Ochoa y Raimundo Gutierrez, two Hispanic men who want to be some of the good ones. Want to keep the bad, violent Hispanics out. That's what they tell themselves to be able to sleep at night. They tell themselves that they're doing something to help people like them by ensuring that the laws are followed. But it's the same old, same old. It's the capos in Germany. There's always been those turning against their own people. Of course, the other side, they'll point out that, see, they call us Nazis and they say we're racist, but look, we have Hispanics in our ranks. Enrico Terrio was the leader of the Proud Boys, and see, they call us racist. We're not racist at all. That's how they tell themselves that they're not racist. That's how people on the right, the magosphere, poo-poo away the insults of racism and it doesn't affect them anymore because they've managed to convince themselves they can't be racist. They're friends with Floyd at work. They're friends with Juan, the landscaper. They can't possibly be racist. But see, racism isn't about who you may like or dislike individually. That's prejudice. That's bigotry. And it can work both ways. Black people can be prejudiced and bigoted against white people, and Mexican people can be prejudiced and bigoted against Asian people, and it can work all ways with prejudice and bigotry, but racism is a different thing. Racism is systemic. Racism is the systems that manage to keep a hierarchy in place. Racism is the system that promotes from within and keeps the others without. Racism is the system in which the laws protect those in the in-group, but they do not protect those in the out-group. You're subject to the laws if you're in the out-group, but not subject to the laws if you're in the in-group. It becomes clearer and clearer the more you study it and the more you look throughout history, the same repeated patterns all across the globe. So that's one angle on this. The other angle on this that I want to get to is that the Democrats, who are so desperate for this pressure to be off them, to actually have to do something. Oh my God, you're going to make us have to take a stand and believe in something. Ah, the donors won't like it. But what's happening here is Democrats desperately want the pressure to be relieved. They're the white moderates that Martin Luther King talked about that want the justice that's the absence of tension rather than the presence of justice. So they want this to be relieved, and they think they can get out of it with, well, we'll have more training. We'll fight to make sure that ICE has better training and that they have some body cameras on them so that they can accurately detail all the brutalization they're giving to people. If they, you know, remember to turn them on or they don't break, you know, because Lord knows we'd have body cams on cops all throughout this country for decades now. And you wouldn't believe how faulty those systems can be. So we want more training. That's what the Democrats are going to say. We want them to be better trained. We want to have guardrails in place. We want to have guidelines. We want to have strict procedures. You can't do this or that, you know, strict procedures, you know, like, you know, the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution. Is that strict enough? Jesus. Maybe if we write it down in boldface, they'll follow it. So they want to keep on this training thing and give more training. Jesus and Raimundo worked there 8 years and 12 years. How much more training are they going to need? You think we're going to sit them down in a 2-week seminar on, you know, following the law and being, you know, a basic human being? And that's going to change things. Democrats, you got to understand, the time has long since passed for us to be doing bold, swinging for the fences kind of stuff. Medicare for all is just the start of that. That's the low-hanging fruit. We need to have massive, massive renovation of this 250-year-old Constitution to make it work in the 21st century. And one of the maybe silver lining blessings of the Donald Trump regime is him pointing out and tearing up all of the problems in the foundation and kicking down some of the walls to see the rot that's down to the studs. Maybe this is a good thing in the long run. This republic, if we can keep it. Also in the news is the little boy, Liam Ramos, has been freed. He and his father have been freed from the Texas Detention Center, where little Liam was undergoing psychological and physical trauma, not getting good food, you know, suffering mental health issues that he'll have to deal with that the rest of his life. How can he ever trust authority figures? Let's start with that. But he's free. He's back home. Saw that. But remember, he's not the only one. He's the one we know of that everyone saw the adorable photograph of, who had Congress people fighting for him. There's so many other of these kids that are currently under detention whose parents followed the rules, who came to the country and presented at a point of entry like Liam's father did, claiming for asylum, going to the appointments, obeying the law, contributing to society. The promises that we made to these people that America could be a place where you could be free, where you could escape from the horrific treatment you might be suffering from no fault of your own, give your kids a better life. There's many, many more of these kids in these concentration camps we built, and let's just call them what they are. You're concentrating people into a large camp, aren't you? So it's a concentration camp. And remember, we say concentration camp and people go, oh, you're calling them Nazis and death camps. No, the death camps came later. The warehousing starts first. First, you take all the undesirables and you warehouse them all in these big warehouse areas, right? And then you realize, geez, we got to keep feeding these people. And they got to keep, you know, they get diseases and it's starting to spread to us. And no other country wants to take them and there's nowhere to put them. And my God, man, it's just get rid of these guys somehow. What do you think, man? You got any ideas? That's when the death camps start coming. We are well along this well-worn path throughout history. That always follows the same chapters. We've got concentration camps and we've got children in them. It will be horrific what we will learn. Also in the news, of course, Don Lemon, the journalist, and three others who all were black. Hey, we're all going to jail black journalists at the start of Black History Month on charges that stem from the Anti-Ku Klux Klan Acts. Because this administration is nothing if not hella ironic. Don's been freed on his own recognizance. The judges are laughing this stuff out of court. Don Lemon, if anything, is just being a journalist, just being there, trying to record the damn thing. But it's to send a message, especially to the non-white journalists, because the white ones tend to fall in line. Remember when the AP was kicked out of the White House at the very beginning of this maladministration? Because it wouldn't kowtow to saying Gulf of America? They kicked the Associated Press out and the rest of the Washington Press Corps went, okay, oh well, whatever, okay. Oh, man. I sure wish people loved the Constitution as much as I did. But anyway, Don Lemon's freed. If people don't see this as a major affront to the First Amendment, to go on with all the other affronts to our freedom of speech, our freedom to assemble, our freedom to petition a government for redress of grievances, and the shocking irony of them trying to use our freedom of religion as a way to cut down on our freedom of press. That's what this whole Don Lemon thing is about. Federal statutes that prevent the trying to forcibly stop people from attending church services. Now, I've made my opinion known on the whole protest before. I didn't think it was a good idea. Tactically, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to give the right wing photographs of busting up a Christian church service. Especially blackface is busting up a white Christian church service. You're just feeding the Fox right wing outrage machine. But then other people come back, oh, Jesus, you know, overthrew the tables at the money lenders and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I know, whatever. Just didn't think it was tactically smart. But nobody deserved to go to jail for it. Nobody even deserved to go to court for it. Anyway, glad to see Don Lemon is freed. Glad to see Liam Ramos is freed. Hope I live long enough to see Jesus Ochoa and Raimundo Gutierrez behind bars.
Celebrate with our weekly act of debauchery.
In a city that's famous for its vice and debauchery is totally fine with you.
Each generation thinks it invented debauchery or suffering or rebellion.
Degeneracy, debauchery, and murder!
Worshipping their deity of debauchery.
So the Melania movie was so bad that they had to release the Epstein files to distract from that, I guess. Oh my gosh, have you seen some of the releases from the latest tranche of Epstein files? Some 3 million documents, some videos and such have all been released. Some of them even pulled down later after they revealed some awful complaints against Donald Trump and others. And again, the complaints that are listed were for like online tip lines. And there's all sorts of analysis going on about this as to whether or not they're releasing things that can be easily debunked to show, you know, that there was crazy people after Trump had attained power that were then would say anything. And then to use that as a way to discount any of the real stuff that might come out later, the real stuff that was coming out now. But boy, I don't know. There's a whole lot of smoke there. Just so much smoke. And I'm hearing from other podcasts, they've got interviews with some of the people. The Mueller, She Wrote podcast people, I guess, have one of the survivors who had made one of those tip line complaints tips about girls as young as 13 being recruited, having calendar girl contests where they're measured in different ways. I don't want to go into the disgusting nature of it, but just all manner of terrible things going on here. And even to the point of allegations of Robin Leach. Remember Robin Leach? Lifestyles of the rich and famous with Robin Leach. Champagne wishes and caviar dreams. Remember that guy, that asshole? Anyway, he's apparently all over the Epstein files with some allegations that this one girl says she saw him strangle to death another girl. Again, just allegations. And that girl was murdered and disposed of. And she was told that if you tell anybody what you saw here, you'll end up on the back nine with the rest of them. And he didn't say the rest of them. He used the profanity that I'm not going to use right now. And it just, I'm telling you, you know, I've seen posts that people go out saying, you know, all the stuff that Trump is trying to do to distract from the Epstein files, you know, invading Venezuela and threatening Greenland and destroying the East Wing of the White, whatever, all these things that happen that people say are distractions for the Epstein files. One of the rejoinders people have is, well, what could be so terrible that's in the Epstein files that they'd have to do this? I have ideas of what could be so terrible. Like maybe a systematic, global, decades-long child sex trafficking ring with little white boys and girls. And apparently from the Epstein list here, Epstein was into every type of girl from every nationality, but no black girls, except he didn't use the term black girls. He was into everything but black girls. So I guess, you know, happy Black History Month. I guess the black women didn't have anything to worry about. God. But anyway, the allegations here are just horrible. And I'm thinking, you know, global child sex trafficking ring, international, with international spy craft all over it, being used for blackmail at the highest levels of corporate and government power, systematic murder of some of these young people who are never seen, heard from again, who may have just been filed as disappeared or came from poor places of the planet where there's not even a cursory police investigation into such disappearances. Systematic torture, videotaped torture and rape of these young people. Mass graves of them in golf courses where Trump has properties all over. That's the level of stuff I think is really going on here. That's like people can say, how bad could it be? That's how bad it could be. Oh, I forgot. Organ harvesting. Let's throw that on the pile. Organ harvesting. Get these kids that are 13, 14, 15, just old enough to pull an organ from. You think these rich billionaire fuckers wouldn't do that kind of stuff? Money can buy anything. That's the level that I think is being covered up here in the Epstein files. And it pains me to say it, but QAnon was right. I think QAnon was right. The whole QAnon thing was a whole global pedophilic satanic child sex trafficking ring. Of course, but it was run by Democrats and Donald Trump was the one that was going to undo it. That's the part they messed up on. Got the villain in the, well, maybe not all the villains. We don't know who all's in there. And I don't care if there's Democrats in there. I don't care if the Pope's in there. I don't care if Mr. Rogers in there. I want to know who's in there. There's one email that Jeffrey Epstein sent to somebody whose name is redacted, to whom Jeffrey says, thanks, loved the torture vid. Loved the torture vid. There's another email out there that references torture as well. So yeah, I think that's as bad as it gets. I think the worst thing you can think of, it's that bad. It is that bad. And this will all come to an end someday. Donald Trump's not going to live forever. Although I remind myself, Henry Kissinger made it to 100. I don't know how these evil fucks stay alive, but he's not going to live forever. And when he dies, all sorts of non-disclosure agreements go away. All sorts of contracts are no longer binding. There'll be a massive power vacuum in MAGA. and all sorts of backbiting. It makes you wonder how many of the people who are in the administration now, or who have left the administration, Bongino, in the administration, Patel, Pam Bondi, Christy Noem, Pete Hegseth, RFK, how many of them have seen and know or are in those files, RFK? Come on, man. J.D. Vance, maybe, who knows? The way they are working so hard to protect it, who knows? But even if they're not personally in it, if they know who is in it, if they know the depths of the depravity that is in it, and that MAGA power vacuum happens, they've got all these blackmail bombs to use against each other. Oh, my goodness. Oh, how that could turn out. Donald's not going to live forever. And assuming that we move forward with free and fair elections, assuming Democrats don't manage to fund ICE enough that they can attack all our polling places, assuming that they recognize that this threat is real and will, at the state level and at the county level, the precinct level, have already prepared for what to do when armed masked thugs show up and demand to take your voting machines, I hope there's contingencies in place. I hope there's governors willing and ready to deploy the National Guard to protect our polling places. But an election's coming. These guys won't be in power forever.
We're also getting reports the earthquake triggered a massive tsunami.
This huge wave came and washed over the deck,
which will lead to a seismic shattering causing a massive, massive tsunami.
Huge wave near to boiling point rushed upon me and I screamed aloud.
Yes, the Republicans are freaking out about the blue tsunami in Texas. We got these results out of Tarrant County for a state Senate race. This is a blue district, a red district in a red county. And the district itself is redder than the county. Tarrant County itself is home to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I've actually marched to the Tarrant County courthouse on the marijuana march there in Dallas. 3,000 of us smoking weed on the steps of the Tarrant County courthouse. Who'd have thought? Anyhow, Tarrant County, fairly conservative area. The county itself went for Trump by +5. This district went for Trump by +17. And it hasn't been represented by a Democrat since 1991. And the news out of this special election is that Taylor Remmert, the Democrat, won this election by 13 points at the last counting I saw. So a 30-point swing in a deep red district, in a red county, in a red state. This going along with all the other special elections that have happened up till now, showing massive enthusiasm for the Democrats and the Republicans losing in very safe areas. His opponent was Lee Wamsgans. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but she was endorsed by Trump, outspent Taylor Remmert by 20-1. And still lost the race. Now, I guess there is some question, two white people running against each other, but one's a man, one's a woman. So you got to question whether or not there was any misogyny that helped. But come on, a 30-point swing can't be just a case of misogyny. So Taylor Remmert will be representing that state Senate district. And it also bodes well for what's happening at the United States House level. There was a special election to fill the seat that Sylvester Turner vacated on his death. This seat in Texas was won by Christian Menefee on my birthday, January 31st. And that now puts the U.S. House of Representatives at 218 Republicans and 214 Democrats and those who caucus with Democrats. So the lead, the vote margin for Mike Johnson as Speaker of the House is very, very slim. And there are three special elections coming that could make that even slimmer. On March 10th, the seat that was vacated by Marjorie Taylor Greene is up in Georgia. Now, I don't know about this seat. I don't know who's running in this seat. I don't know if a Republican is running unopposed, but if they are, they shouldn't be. If anything, this Tarrant County result shows that even a heavily red district like the one that sent Marjorie Taylor Greene to the Congress three times could be won by a Democrat. That's how much people hate on the Republicans right now. Then on April 16th, Mikey Sherrill, who's the newly elected governor of New Jersey, her seat is up for special election, and that's a blue district, so we can expect that to cut the margin even further. And on August 4th, a California Republican, Doug LaMalfa, he passed away. The special election for his seat is on August 4th. And again, California's done their whole redistricting thing to fight against what Texas did, so I think that will also be a Democratic seat. We are getting to the point here where Mike Johnson has no votes left to lose. And he's already lost people like Thomas Massie, Nancy Mace, Lauren Boebert on the whole Epstein files thing. He can't afford to have very many defectors, which opens up this possibility that I've been thinking about. And that is, how could these cowardly Republicans finally recognize that Trump has gone too far, and that he has no loyalty to them, and that he's going to drag them all down in the midterms, and that they want to rebuild a Republican Party without him and see him absolutely vanquished? How could these cowardly Republicans accomplish that? And I got to thinking, if one of them, or two of them, or three of them, or five of them all decided to retire, or better yet, decided they were leaving the Republican Party to be independents who caucus with the Democrats. Or hell, switch to the Democratic Party. I don't know which Republicans I'd want, but we're just talking power games, Machiavellian shit here. If they were to retire or switch and throw the majority over to the Democrats before the midterms, and make Hakeem Jeffries speaker before the midterms, and hand over all the gavels in the oversight committees to like Robert Garcia and Jamie Raskin, etc., before the midterms. It's February. Midterms aren't till November. The sooner this happens, the more months could tick with Democrats having power in the House to have real hearings, to really release the Epstein files unredacted, to let all the shit hit the fan going into the midterms. To know that all the things being released could cause such a terrible shitstorm for Donald Trump that there actually might be enough support to both impeach, convict, and remove him from office. And remove all his officers from office and subject them to the criminal courts of the United States of America before the midterms. Give the Democrats enough power to be able to put real shackles on ICE to really protect those midterms, to really have free and fair elections. It would only take three or four Republicans in the United States House switching their allegiance to the Democratic Party just for this next 9 months. Imagine the change that can happen. They could get Donald Trump off their back. They could vanquish him from any sort of political power. And maybe there's short-term pain from the base. But I'm telling you, once the Democrats get those gavels and the real Epstein file stuff comes out, you'll find those MAGA people wanting to distance themselves from Donald Trump as fast as possible. Donald, never heard of him. Who? Trump? No, I never liked the guy. We could make that happen by convincing three or four Republicans to make that jump. And I'm going to do my part. I've got Congressman Cliff Bentz. I have Oregon's only Republican in Washington, D.C. representing me right now. He's my congressman. I'm going to type this up. I'm going to suggest it to him. Cliff Bentz, have you seen what's going on here in Josephine County, Jackson County, Ashland, in Medford, in Grants Pass? Every time we have these No Kings rallies, they get bigger and bigger. Your own Republican Party in these counties are fracturing over this kind of stuff, over corruption, over the Epstein files. Cliff Bentz, you could be a hero. You could be one of the heroes that takes down the pedophile cabal. And it's Oregon, man. You'd just be joining the rest of the Democrats in Oregon. And hell, Janelle Bynum is sometimes not that Democrat herself. So I'm going to reach out to Cliff Bentz, and maybe you can reach out to one of your Republican representatives. Get him in on the plan. The Night of the Long Knives. Let's make it the Ides of March. How about that? March 15th. Wouldn't that be perfect? Have three or four or five Republicans switch to the Democratic Party on March 15th for the symbolism of it all. I love it. And one more thing that I love. I love some of these young Democrats that are coming up. Jasmine Crockett, Maxwell Frost. A lot of these young folks that grew up post-Clinton, post-getting ass kicked in the Reagan 80s. That's what I really think a lot of the problem with the modern Democratic leadership is. They got their ass kicked so bad by Reagan Bush in the 80s for 12 straight years that they felt that that Democrat wasn't a good thing anymore. Had to not be Democrat. Had to be Republican light. Well, these younger Democrats who've lived through three financial crashes and terrorist attacks and pandemics, they seem to want Democrats like the old school Democrats who stood for the people, the working people, against the corporations. And one of them out there that I've been following before she was even running for office, when she was doing online sleuthing, is Kat Abugazeli out there in Illinois. And she really gets it, man. Her latest campaign commercial gets it.
Kat Abugazeli is the kind of radical Democrat Fox News warned you about. Kat believes you deserve universal health care, groceries, and housing. Where does she think we are? The richest country on Earth? Kat isn't a millionaire. She doesn't take PAC money. She can't even afford health insurance herself. How can she possibly relate to normal, hardworking corporations like you and me? And it gets worse. As a journalist, Kat's reporting helped lead to Tucker Carlson's departure from Fox News. Is that who you want fighting extremists in Washington? Kat claims the Democratic Party should not bow down to Trump or his billionaire friends. Does she think strongly worded letters count as bowing? Kat Abugazeli represents a new generation of progressive Democrats working to redefine the party's future. And she plans to do it with her ferocious attack cat by her side. Is this who you want representing us?
I'm Kat Abugazeli, and I approve this message.
You should find her video online because the visuals go well with it, especially the one where she makes the jab at Chuck Schumer. But that's all the time we've got today for the Radical Russ Smoke Session. The Radical Russ Show is produced, directed, researched, written, recited, posted, and catered by me, Radical Russ Belleville, and governed by Creative Commons share-alike licensing. News, music, video clips, and social media posts are reproduced under fair use copyright laws for commentary and analysis. Special thanks to the ghost of Zsa Zsa Gabor for her contributions to my Melania coverage. My main theme is We Love the Herb by Herbal Nation, and interstitial music is by Russ Boom Boom Belleville.
What's the boom boom for?
Boom, boom, boom.
Which brings us to our post-credits scene.
Is that absolutely necessary?
Is that absolutely necessary?
Is that absolutely necessary?
It's a man's world. It's a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Wouldn't be nothing. Without a woman or a girl. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't, and you know it, don't you? Let me tell you something.
Oh, man, just the most terrible rest in peace time for this week's show. We lost the great Catherine O'Hara, who was a part of my life since I was a kid. I grew up watching her as Lola Heatherton on SCTV, among the many other characters that she portrayed. Rest in peace. She'll be with Joe Flaherty and John Candy now, laughing it up in heaven.
Oh, no! Lamont! Lamont!
The truck!
What?
The truck is gone.
The truck?
Somebody stole the truck.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lamont, I think I'm going to have a big one.
Hey, Smitty was right, man. There's probably a whole gang of them working this neighborhood. But if they stole the truck last night, they had to make some noise. Now, did you hear anything?
I ain't hear nothing.
Well, maybe Julio heard something. I'll see.
Hey, Julio! Hey, Julio!
Yeah, and another big RIP for me with the loss of Demond Wilson, who played Lamont, the son, on Sanford and Son. I gotta tell you, growing up in Idaho, black people on my TV were all the black people I knew. That was it. We didn't have black people back in Idaho, and I really grew up kind of with this fascination and appreciation of black culture, at least as it was portrayed by Norman Lear on TV. Rest in peace. Also, a quick note, saw that Donald Trump is closing the Trump Kennedy Center starting on July 4th for 2 years of renovations. Basically, Philip Glass, who I just learned, by the way, Philip Glass has the same birthday as me as well, January 31st. Philip Glass canceled his performance. The orchestra was set to perform one of his compositions. He canceled out, joining so many other artists that have canceled on the Trump Kennedy Center since he went and festooned his name feces all over it. So, yeah, Trumpy's going to take his ball and go home. If nobody wants to play in my center, I'm just going to close it. And he says he'll reopen it in 2028. Let's hope he's still not around by then. You can contact me by email at radicalrus@gmail.com. Call my message line at 877-RUS-420. That's 877-877-420. And reach me on social media on Blue Sky as radicalrus.com and nowhere else. You can support this podcast financially by donating to Radical Russ on Venmo, Rad Russ on Cash App, or via PayPal on my website at radicalrus.com. Get this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, my website, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. And until next week, take care of each other.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you